Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty, spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level and see if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup.
Just after 1 o'clock on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you with a Thursday edition of Smith and Jones. Jonesy, I don't know about you, every time that song comes on and the intro starts, I mean, I can't dance at all. You know that. You've known me for over 20 years. I can't dance, but I'm a hell of a chair dancer. I can't help but move. And maybe I'm just getting ready to dance on the weekend with getting ready for the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. I'm getting jacked up. I'm ready. It's like the countdown's on. It doesn't count until Wednesday, but Thursday hits and the juices start flowing. I'm ready for the weekend.
I'm chair dancing too. Isn't there a part in that song where with the lyrics it goes hold up?
Yep. Hold up. Wait.
And Derek just chimed in with another phrase in the some lyrics that we won't let out.
It's legal now. It's legal.
Yeah. I'll say this. I would be getting gassed up too if my team was in it. I'm gassed up now and my team's still out because I would have loved to have seen things a little bit different. And like, could you imagine the build up to this week if it had been Bills and Browns? Oh, wow.
Yes.
And the takeover. Yes. The takeover.
Did you ever get that cleared, or was that just going to be a thing that you were waiting until it actually was official and then get the clearance?
Oh, hell no. We were storming. I mean, it seems to be in vogue now, trendy. Just storm the place and get what you want without repercussions. So, I was just telling Cadeau and Rozon and, you know, Fabro and those that were holding down corner offices, you got to give that up for a little bit. That's all.
Well, see, I'm working the sidelines on Sunday's broadcast, so I'm wondering if I could somehow get away with throwing my jersey on under my suit and just, you know, repping the Bills during the Raptors broadcast or something when the Raptors face the Pacers on Sunday. I don't know if the boss.
As long as there's no dancing, no Bills make me want to shout, and you get start that. No. I do not want to see that on my television. Yeah.
Well, how thrilled was I yesterday, though? And I know we talked about it. I've had a bunch of people hit me up. Do you know Adam
when they
Silver?
Changed the time?
You got the inside track. You got the bat phone to the NBA offices or something. They changed the time. It couldn't have worked out more perfectly for me, selfishly at least, and actually for any sports fan in general, actually watching on Sunday's action, because the Raptors game will be over by the time kickoff goes down for the Packers and Bucks as well. So 1 o'clock Raptors game rolls right into the 3:30, 3:40 kickoff of the first game, and then you're done in time to obviously watch the second game with the Bills and Chiefs at 6:40. It's just a cornucopia of sports on Sunday with the Raptors and the National Football League and wall to wall. I'm sure there's going to be some hockey thrown in there for a bunch of folks as well. So just, you know, if your significant other or your children or anybody, your friend, well, you're not supposed to be with friends, anybody outside of your house. If anybody gives you any grief on Sunday, tell them to talk to Smith or Jones, because you have a free pass to watch TV, to watch sports from 12:59 p.m. on Sunday right through to roughly 9:59 p.m. on Sunday night. I'm giving you the free pass.
I can still hear my late father when there was a big football game, and they were rare back in our day because it was the game of the week, and I could still hear him announcing Sunday, like when he got home from church, or Saturday afternoon when he was out doing his grocery shopping. He would be set to leave the house, and like the Leafs would be playing the Canadians or something like that, or he would say, okay, I'm going out to do my shopping and I'm doing my stuff, and at 6 o'clock I don't want anybody near me. Like, don't say nothing to me. I'm getting ready for the game. Like, he would do that. Or he would come in on, like, I remember the very first Monday night football game, the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. And it was a big deal because every game was on Sunday. You got the odd Saturday game, but Monday night at 9 o'clock. And he came home from work that day and did everything. And at 8 o'clock, man, it was like the warm-up. If he had a jersey and a helmet to put on, he would have put it on sitting in the chair. And I was like, don't go near him. Like, that's that's a penalty. That's, you know, like, it's like, it's like a safety blitz coming. Like, you know what's going to happen, and the end result isn't going to be good if you go where you're not supposed to. So, yeah, Eric's just giving everybody the okay. He's written a note for everybody.
Yep.
If you have homework, don't do it.
Yep.
If you, if, whatever it is,
nope.
You're get out of jail free for like 3 hours, 4 hours.
Yep. Yep. And if your parents or your spouse, whomever they may be, if they got an issue, you tell them to talk to me. I'm giving the free pass. If you got homework, get it done before 12:59 or get it done on Saturday. If you haven't got it done in time, well, I guess you're turning things in late on Monday morning. It's virtual anyways. What are they going to do? It's online. They're going to come knock on your door and track you down? Nope. You're just going to submit it a little bit later. You have a free pass on Sunday from 12:59 to 9:59. And just stay in your damn house and watch sports, period. Order in a pizza. Make a pizza. Do whatever you want to do. But you have a free pass for... What is that? Math's always bad. Carry the 1, 2, 3. What is that? 9 hours? 10 hours? I don't know, Jones. Either way, you have a free pass to sit on the couch and watch sports. Period. Speaking of the Bills, by the way, Kenneth Davis is going to join us on the show today. Former Bills running back. He was a part of all four of those four straight trips to the Super Bowl in the early 90s. And we'll talk to Kenneth Davis later on in the program, and in a couple of minutes' time, we're going to be joined by Tim Bontemps, our friend from ESPN, to just look around the National Basketball Association in general. A lot of stories around the NBA, including the Toronto Raptors and Jonesy. That was a frustrating one last night. It looked like the team had been turning a bit of a corner, playing much better of late. 3-game winning streak. You're rolling into a game, the first of two against the Heat. Miami playing without Jimmy Butler. You didn't have Tyler Hero in the lineup either. There's no Avery Bradley. There's no Myers Leonard. This is ripe for a Raptors victory, and they lay an absolute egg, especially in the second half, and just get the I don't know if it's fair to say the doors blown off, but they got beaten badly last night. And that, to me, we've seen a lot of frustrating losses thus far in the 5-9 start. That might be at the top of the list for me. Like, that was one where I said, again, factoring in the injuries and the men that were down for the Heat, that to me was, I was looking at that thinking, here's a win. Here's a 4-game winning streak. You're now 6-8. Could you get Friday as well with Jimmy Butler not playing? Suddenly now you're that much closer to 500. Okay, things are turning around, and boom, you get kicked back down 5-9. And I was real, real annoyed with the way they played last night.
6 for 21 in the fourth quarter, and I don't know what it is about Miami zone. I mean, it's not like the Raptors don't play zone or haven't seen it.
And it's not like they didn't know it was coming. Nick Nurse talked about it pregame, right?
Well, yeah, and because Miami does it to them all the time, and Spoelstra sprinkled it in little bits and pieces just to see, you know, he did it in the first half. It worked. Okay, put it away. I'm going to pull it out later. Did it towards the end of the third quarter. Okay, it worked. All right, fourth quarter, here we go. Slap the card on the table. Here's the zone. Beat it. And the Raptors, like, I liked, and here's the scary thing. I liked what I saw, you know, from a coaching standpoint in terms of the strategy. I'll never forget the first time I saw a zone, and I'll go back, and you have to be of a certain vintage to remember this. A guy, University of Kentucky was playing against the zone, and Joe B. Hall put a guy named Dwight Anderson at the free throw line, and his nickname was The Blur. And then I remember, you know, Coach K did the same thing in the Olympics in 2008. He put LeBron at the free throw line in the middle of the zone, right at the nail. And that, my you know, university coach used to say, against the zone, it's like playing X's and O's right there. One of the most important squares where you control everything is the middle square. And you put one of your best players there who's a good shooter, good passer, good decision maker, and if that ball goes into that spot, alarm bells go off for the defense. And the Raptors did it. They had OG there a couple times. He got a dunk once. They swung it to the side and into the corner, and they got an open corner three. Raptors number one in the NBA in corner threes attempted. So, like, I liked what I saw, but you can't go 6 of 21. And then the same way we talk about passing is contagious, good shooting is contagious, everybody's making them, the same thing happens with bad shooting. It's like nobody can throw it in the ocean from the beach. And you know, 6 for 21, and it just started to slowly, like you said, Eric, slip away, like a miss and then another miss. And then Miami comes down and they don't score. and then you go down and you miss three in a row, and they finally on one of three trips get a bucket. And instead of being 10, now the lead's 12. You've lost like a minute and a half on the clock, and you're still desperate. And it's a mindset too. And I just, you know, people were texting us on Twitter and stuff. Why don't they play Matt Thomas? Hey, Nick, he said he almost went to him. And he answered that question 3 weeks ago. He says, I don't need another small guy on the floor, particularly one who doesn't play defense as well as Norm, Fred, or Kyle. So for all those, like, it's typical, though. When you're losing, everybody's got the answer. Everybody has an answer. So, I mean, that doesn't mean that we won't see Matt Thomas, or he's not valuable, or Nick might not try him. But, you know, people are asking on Twitter, like, well, he must be doing something during practice. Don't ask us. We're not there, and neither are you. And as I said many times, nobody knows a kid better than the parent. There might be a mistake here or there, but that parent knows the kid better than anybody else. Nobody knows a team better than its coach. And you can second and third guess, but they're going to do what they feel is best for winning, and knowing their personnel better than anybody else gives them the best chance.
Yeah, I hear you, Jonesy. I hear you. And I would anticipate that adjustments will be made for Friday's game, because you know that you're going to see a similar blueprint tomorrow night from the Heat. I mean, obviously it worked, and they're going to have the same or similar personnel with Jimmy Butler not expected to play. We'll find out if Bradley or Leonard or Hero end up playing, but we know Jimmy Butler is out of that ball game, so it's going to be by committee again, largely by the Heat, and you know that they're going to throw those doses of the zone at the Raptors, and they're going to have to figure out a way to break through that. I mean, I can't tell you how frustrated I was watching that game last night, because I really did think that this team was starting to turn a bit of a corner here over the last few ball games, and just get punted right back down at 5-9, and you look at the next three coming with Miami, and then the back-to-back at Indiana on Sunday, Monday. Man, the Raptors, they got to get things cooking. And just again, I keep referencing, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but just when you thought that the rotation's getting set, you're figuring out who your guys are off the bench and who's going to be playing minutes. And I'm sure if you're Nick Nurse and the coaching staff, you're kind of pulling your hair a little bit today, thinking, all right, was that just a one-night blip, or do we have to kind of reassess where we thought we finally had figured out what we were and who we were? And then, are we who we thought we were, or do we have to continue to go back to the drawing board as we look forward to tomorrow night and the, you know, the upcoming schedule as well? To get his opinion of the Raptors and so much more across the association, our friend from ESPN, Tim Bontemps. Tim, thanks for the time as always.
Anytime, guys. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
Are you cheering for the Bills too? Are you a quasi-Western New Yorker cheer for the Bills?
I'm not a quasi-Western New Yorker.
He is a Western New Yorker,
That's right. That's right.
That's true. You're a well-traveled Western New Yorker.
That's a better way to put it. I would say I'm a lapsed Bills fan at this point. I basically only root for the Bonnies at this point because of my college St. Bonaventure, because of my job. But my family and many friends from both high school and college are very excited about the Bills, and we'll see if they can pull off another one on Sunday. We'll see if Mahomes plays and if they can win. But either way, it's been fun for them to make this kind of run and be back, you know, deep in the playoffs for the first time in a extremely long time. It's been fun to see.
Well, Tim, see, the way I justify it is I've never covered an NFL game. I've never broadcasted an NFL game. I've only ever been to NFL games as a fan. So I'm allowed to still be a fan of that sport, of that team. So I'm keeping a seat warm for you. I don't know if it's fair to say the bandwagon, because you haven't totally jumped off, but I'm keeping a seat warm for you. You and I and Jacko, we can hang out, and we'll party together when the Bills win on Sunday.
Listen, I can't wait till the day I can party with Jacko again after the way things have been for the past year. So let's fast forward to that day whenever it happens.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Listen, it might not be at an NBA championship parade for the Raptors if these things keep up, Tim, the way the Raptors have struggled out of the gate. From a distance, and I mean, I guess everybody's from a distance right now, but, you know, from your viewpoint of this team, what have you seen from the Raptors that, you know, maybe gives you either cause for concern, or is there still some guarded optimism in spite of their 5-9 record?
I mean, look, the Raptors have a net rating that is positive, and they have a 5-9 record, right? So that means that they're outscoring their opponents per 100 possessions. So they've had some very bad luck in close games. Obviously, the two games in Portland and San Francisco could have gone either way, literally, right? Pascal has one or both of those shots go in. The record's much different. If they hadn't had these losses early in the year when they led, I think, six of the first seven losses they had, they led in the fourth quarter and lost, right? The only game they really were never in was the Celtics game. So you look at the way their season has gone, and I don't think it's quite as bad as it looks. And the East is forgiving enough that I think they're going to be one of the teams at the back end of the playoff picture. But look, this was a team that last year, for as good as it was, I think you guys would agree, had its issues on offense, despite the fact that they're in the middle of the pack this year on offense. They had its issues on offense with the whole group that they had. And the Raptors lost Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol, and they replaced them with Aaron Baines and Alex Len. Alex Len is already gone, and Aaron Baines has been awful. So, yes, Chris Boucher has given them a nice boost off the bench, but when you look at just that change, you'd think the Raptors are going to be worse. Then you combine that with Norm Powell not being quite in sync early on, Pascal being up and down, everything else has kind of gone on. It's not really a shock that they're not as good as they were last year. So, like I said, I don't think that the season's over. I think that things are slowly starting to turn around, despite yesterday's result. But, you know, this team I thought was going to be better than it was, and I think, you know, given the way the center position has shaken out so far and given some of the early struggles that Norm and Pascal and some other guys have had, I think it kind of, you know, I think when you look at all that totality, it kind of makes sense where this team is right now.
Tim, I'm looking at them, and as you said, you pointed all those things out, and still the East is forgiving. I said this to Tim Reynolds yesterday. I think people need to, not just with the Raptors, but with all the teams that are down there, don't you have to look at the playoff structure differently? I know you shouldn't be depending on a play-in game, but if you're not six, if you're 7, 8, 9, or 10, you're going to have to, quote, win your way in to a seven-game series. Doesn't that change the outlook for the playoffs? And as much as, you know, the Raptors are looking at, and as Eric said, you know, 1-6 start, they were 5-3 since, and I really thought they were going to get that one last night. But don't you have to look at the water line a little bit differently? You're not just looking at eight. Like, you're looking at, I'm serious, you're looking at 9 or 10, and if you're playing well towards the end of the year, like, how many times do we see a team that, you know, wins 6 or 7 in a row at the end of the year, and people go, well, it doesn't count because they're out of the playoffs, but those guys are getting it together. Like, don't you have to take all of that into context, especially if you're the Raptors right now? I know you got a long way to go, but you're not exactly burning it up.
I think it depends, Jonesy, on what your goal is, right? And I'm being serious about that. Like, I'm going to go in a couple different directions.
Tim said the same thing.
One thing I've been thinking about a lot is I think it's going to be very difficult for teams that are contending to make trades over the next couple months. One of the reasons is because of what my friend and colleague Brian Windhorst wrote last week, which is that a billion teams have already traded a ton of picks and can't trade first-round picks, which, as you guys know, is the easiest way to upgrade in the middle of the season. The other reason is, to your point, Jonesy, with 10 teams essentially making the playoffs now with these play-in games, you're probably going to have 12, 13 teams in each conference that are going to be trying to make the playoffs.
Right.
Because teams like Cleveland and New York and Orlando and Charlotte and Chicago, they're all trying to make the playoffs, right? They want to be in the play-in game. They've all stunk for a while. They want to try to get better. They want to be able to say they were in the play-in games, right? So it's going to be hard for those teams to turn around and give up stuff and really take a step back. Same in the Western Conference. So you might only have two or three teams that are really selling. So I think from that standpoint, you're right. And I think the bar, because the bar has been lowered to make the playoffs, I think that more teams are going to be less willing to make moves. Now, for a team like the Raptors that has been good and has contended, I think you have to kind of look at it the other way. Right now, I look at the East, and even with the Caris LeVert situation being a little up in the air, I think there's six teams that are, at least for now, clearly better than Toronto. Philly, Milwaukee, Boston, Brooklyn, Indiana, Miami, in some order, right? So to your point, that means that if the season shakes out that way, the Raptors are in this 7-10 mix. And even if you do get out of that, which I certainly think the Raptors should, I think they'd be the best of those teams, you're then looking at playing a really good team in the first round without home court advantage, and you're going to be probably a pretty decided underdog, given you had to play these playing games to get in the first place. So if that seems to be what your ceiling is, are you willing to look at that and say, all right, let's just try to get better, and we can, you know, get better internally, and we can get better as the season goes on, and, you know, make a run, like you said, going to the playoffs, playing well, and then we'll take our chances? Do you say, well, we have a group that has proven to be good in the playoffs in the past, we can maybe trade a first-round pick and add a piece and try to get better now and move up into that top six somewhere? Or do you look at it the other way and say, Kyle Lowry's an expiring contract, and, you know, maybe we try to do a move with him and pivot that direction and try to retool with these younger guys and kind of go the opposite direction, because we don't really have a chance to be better than that anyway? And I know that's not a great answer to your question or like a direct one, it kind of just sums up that I think for each of these teams, I think it's kind of a individual circumstance to determine how you approach that situation. And I think that's what makes it really interesting to me to see how this shakes out, because I do think the trade market's going to be impacted by a lot of these bad teams trying to move up. And I do wonder if some of these good teams that slide down into that spot, do they say, man, now that we're in this playing situation, this is not really advantageous. Do we maybe try to pivot at a point when everybody else is trying to go the opposite direction?
Yeah, E, I know you want to jump in here, but Tim, I was just going to say, as much as all of us probably think Toronto's better, and I mean, you have them at seven, I think they could potentially be better than that, but you may have to just accept where the ceiling is now, and you know, they say you are what your record says you are, but, you know, E, I think maybe they have to look at, geez, if we're a quarter of the way through the season, this is where we are. Maybe that's our ceiling. So go ahead, Eric. Sorry, I was just jumping.
Well, you know, I'm just going to piggyback, Tim, on what you said, and I know you just touched on this a little bit. And again, we're speaking at Tim Bontemps from ESPN. Tim, the Raptors obviously, like so many teams, were trying to position themselves to be financially flexible for next summer, and we all know about the potential rumblings and rumors connecting Giannis to Toronto and other cities for that matter as well. With him re-signing and signing the Supermax with Milwaukee, with the cover being somewhat bare, or at least more bare than we thought it would be, with so many other guys signing as well, what do you think the Raptors do? I mean, let's even pretend right now they're 9-5. Are the Raptors a team that is still a buyer, a seller, a team that's looking towards the future? I mean, you've locked up your money in Van Vliet, you've locked up your money in Siakam, but as you noted, you've got an expiring deal with Kyle Lowry and a boatload of money to spend, but yet you've got a lot of good teams in the Eastern Conference with Boston and Milwaukee, and obviously now with Brooklyn stocking up even more. So how do you pivot now if you're the Raptors, if the guy you thought you had a chance on maybe is no longer on the table, but you've got some serious decisions to make to surround the two guys that you have committed cash to make sure that they are better, let alone your team is better?
Well, I think you have to go beyond that. It's even a guy like Rudy Gobert too, right? Like, we talk about the issues that the Raptors have at center. If the Raptors could have, you know, gone and thrown a max at Rudy Gobert this summer and gotten him, just as a total hypothetical, right? And, you know, if you replace Kyle Lowry with Rudy Gobert and you shift everybody down a spot, well, that's a team that looks like it could be a factor for a while in the East. So, but now he's off the board because he signed a Supermax. So, look, I think before the Raptors can decide what they're going to do with their team going forward, I think the obvious question hanging out there is what happens with Masai Ujiri. And does Masai Ujiri stay in Toronto or does he leave? And until he signs an extension or gets to the end of his contract and signs a new one, it's hard to know what the direction is going forward, right? Because if you don't have him piloting the ship, then you have to see, you know, does Bobby Webster stay? Does he leave? Like, that, you have to start figuring out all that kind of stuff after that, right? So I think before you can answer that question, I think you have to answer the bigger one, which is who's running the show going forward. And then I think once you have that answer, I mean, look, I suspect that Toronto will just ride this out this year and try to make some improvements on the margins and try to get another big, and, you know, try to make a run with this group and then see what happens this summer, try to fill in some pieces. But, you know, I do wonder if they are sitting in those play-in spots and they're just kind of floating around eighth place, you know, a potential Kyle Lowry move to me is an interesting trade chip in a market where there's not a lot of guys available for trade. And Kyle would, I think, pretty clearly be the best player on the market. you know, it's hard to get to the money to make a deal like that work. But, you know, if a guy like Kyle Lowry becomes available and the Raptors could get a bunch back for him, as much as it would be painful to see a guy who's, you know, pretty clearly been the best player in the history of the franchise leave at this point, you know, with only a couple months left on his contract at that point, I think it's something they would have to look at. So they're in kind of a weird spot, I guess. Again, like, I'm not really giving like straight answers on this stuff because I just think it's hard. They're hard questions to ask, and I don't think there is a clear answer of which way to go. And I think because there is so much optionality at play here and the Raptors can go in so many different directions that I think it's hard to know exactly which one is the right one right now, because again, we're still really early in this season. And with all the stuff that's already happened over the last month, you know, we still have 2 full months of the trade deadline to see how things shake out from here.
So Tim, you know, 2 full months of the trade deadline, and we're getting games postponed left and right. And I know we're running up against the clock here, but you know, Eric and I wondered about Major League Baseball. We wondered about the NFL. I'm beginning to wonder about the NBA. Are we going to get this season in? Like, there are just so many games being postponed. Are we going to get this thing done?
I wish I knew. I think the NBA, like baseball, you make a good point, bring up baseball, Jonesy. I think the NBA is going to power through like baseball and finish this thing out and get to the end of the season. But I'll tell you what, this has been a rough 2 weeks, and I think that there's a better chance of this thing having to be put on hold than I would have ever guessed with the way that this shook out. You know, the virus is clearly causing a lot of problems. You have multiple teams sitting out extended periods of time now. Wizards have been out for almost 2 weeks. Now the Grizzlies have had 3 games in a row postponed after already getting one postponed on Wednesday. You know, this is a real problem for the league. And let's be honest, this virus isn't getting better in the short term, right? Like, by the time the playoffs come around in May and June, I think we'll be in a better place. But for the next 2-3 months, it's not going to be good. So, you know, the issues that are causing problems right now are not going to change. And, you know, look, unless the NBA can get a vaccine for its players really soon, which even if it happens, I don't think it's going to happen that soon. This is a problem that's not going away, and it's going to be a very difficult one for Adam Silver and the league office to navigate going forward.
Hey, Tim, last one for you maybe. One in hindsight and one looking kind of into the crystal ball. Did the league make a mistake?
Okay.
Did the league make a mistake by not keeping the play conference only as opposed to the amount of travel? Okay. Well, there, that's the answer to that question.
Ridiculous mistake. Ridiculous mistake. They should have the only – real quick, what baseball did – playing East versus East, Central versus Central, West versus West. It's the only thing baseball got right. And I've said from the beginning it was crazy the NBA didn't do East versus East and West versus West. I think it was a colossal mistake, and it's part of the reason that things are such a mess right now.
All right, so then the crystal ball question, should the NBA bubble the postseason?
I don't think they're going to do that, and I don't think they should do that, if only, Eric, because I think by that point, we'll be in a much better place. And I'm not saying everything's going to be like hunky-dory back to normal, but I think the virus will be under control enough that we won't have issues by then. I would guess that the players will be vaccinated by then, right? So, like, you're probably going to be okay, and the NBA is clearly going to want to try to get fans in the stands at some point and make some money. But look, if there's any chance that what's happening now is happening in May and June, then yeah, I think the chances of potentially bubbling for the playoffs go up, because what we all know is the NBA is going to make sure, come hell or high water, the NBA playoffs are played, preferably without any kind of disruption. And if it takes a bubble to do that, they will do it. I just don't think that 4 or 5 months from now that's necessarily going to have to be the case.
Tim, listen, appreciate the time. As always, the insight. We'll look forward to chatting again soon. Stay safe and healthy in the meantime.
Same to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tim.
There is Tim Bontemps from ESPN. And, Jonesy, that to me, I don't know, we've discussed this briefly, but that to me is a league that has made so many smart decisions and gone the right way in so many different times and so many different circumstances and instances over the years. They made a real big mistake, I think. And we both were shocked when they announced the schedule. I think many of us were thinking it's going to be East, East, West, West, that's it. And when we heard that there was going to be interconference play and flying and hopscotching all over, That is one major mistake. And I don't know if it would have totally cut down on the spread of the virus and the issues that the league is having with some of its teams, but I've got to think it could have potentially been a little bit better at the very least.
Well, here we are, right? As Tim said, the Wizards haven't played in forever. The Grizzlies have their next three postponed. And it's kind of not a matter of if, but when. I mean, Raptors have been pretty lucky right now, but how long till it starts catching up to them? I mean, especially in Florida. So fingers crossed.
We're going to shift our attention away from basketball, turn it to football as we get set for the playoffs.
No, turn it to the Bills. Tell the truth. Turn it to the Bills, not football.
We can talk to Kenneth Davis about the Bucks and the Packers if you want, but I think you might want to talk about the Bills and Chiefs. And we will talk to Kenneth Davis, former Bill, next on Smith & Jones on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty, spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level and see if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup.
Back on Smith and Jones on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. I don't know what in the holy hell that song is. Sounds like it's something that I might hear coming out of KC, though, Jonesy, so I'm not digging it right now. I'm not feeling it. No chair dancing to this one.
People love that song, and I'm like, all right, I ain't judging, but it ain't me.
No, I'm judging. It's terrible. Put it on the ban list, Derek. No, put it on the ban list. Don't turn it up. Don't turn it up. If you're going to give me country, give me like, yeah.
Don't mess with the ops because they got control. So you just like, you got to.
I'm not messing with them.
It's like a referee.
Yeah, I'm just asking them to put a song on the ban list.
Don't challenge the ref.
Yeah, I guess, you know. But Jonesy, give me like, you know, like Dolly Parton or Kenny Rogers or something. Or if you're going to give me, I mean, I'd rather have no country. But Chris Stapleton, is that like country or is that kind of like more rock? Yeah, right. One bad song. All right, we're getting set to be joined by Kenneth Davis. He's going to come on with us in a couple of minutes here, Jonesy, and we're going to chat about the Bills game on Sunday. Wanted to mention, while we have a moment here, we're giving you the chance to virtually meet Joe Thornton. Tune in every weekday for keywords and then text them to 590-590 for your chance to enter. Your next keyword will be announced at 4:20 during Writer's Block. For more details on how to meet Jumbo Joe, visit sportsnet.ca/590. I saw Jumbo Joe last night on the ice. I snuck my head out of the curtains up on 317 for about 2 minutes in the first period, just in time to see Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews squaring off, facing off down on the ice, and the Leafies losing 3-1 last night to the Oilers. But I'm telling you, I know we said it the other day, it's bizarre. I mean, I can't speak to the NFL or the NBA, Jonesy. We haven't had a chance to see either one in person, or Major League Baseball for that matter. But, man, I'm telling you, what a bizarre, bizarre feeling standing in that empty arena and just watching two teams go toe-to-toe and just thinking, how are they playing with no emotion or no juice coming from the crowd and feeding off the frenzy that's normally there. It's almost an eerie feeling standing there watching the game.
Yeah, it is. It's very different, and I'm sure there are some players that feed off the energy of the crowd. I say this all the time. They're showmen. They understand there's a game to play, there's competition, but there's also an entertainment piece, and you know, some of that gasses people up. Like in hockey, a big hit and the reaction by the crowd can kind of get you going, you know. Or you know, you're down 10 in basketball and you start to make a comeback and the crowd starts to get into it. Like we always say this, one of the worst things is being the visiting team ahead and having to call a timeout when the home team is making a run. Mm-hmm. Like that is the, you know, if your game ops people are playing along. You know, in Memphis, they pull out the Gap band, you drop the bomb on me, and people are up dancing. And like this, if the, like in Cleveland, they got great game ops in Cleveland. We have great game ops in Toronto. if you're playing along, you can really help the team there, and that's lost right now.
As long as the song that you're not blasting out in the fourth quarter or in the third period or whenever it is, as long as it's not Barbra Streisand. And I don't mean the singer, I'm talking the song. Because the amount of times, Jonesy, that I've heard that, and I love our game ops folks too. I think they're awesome 9 times out of 10. But there are moments when they've busted that out and they play that stupid Barbra Streisand song in a key moment. And I know I look over at you and think, what in the hell is happening? Give me controls. Let me take over the DJing for a second.
I wanted to just for one game against a big team when it's close. Just leave it at our spot and we can pick the music. Like, oh, here comes the run. Let me dial up a song. Let me dial one up for the timeout that's coming up. You know, like I said, like you dropped the bomb on me or you know, just there are so many songs that you could throw in there. So maybe we'll get that one day. You never know.
Well, you're talking about a takeover of the Fan 590, you know, that you were hoping for that to happen. Maybe we just, you know, a takeover of the Raptor game sometime. You know, we got a chance to do both roles. Maybe we'll call the game and we'll do the DJing or something. That, of course, when they eventually make their way back to Toronto. And I'll tell you, just to maybe bring our conversation back to where we were chatting a few minutes ago with Tim Bontemps, I don't even know if I want to say I was optimistic. I was guarded. I was cautiously guarded about the possibility, the chance of the Raptors returning to Toronto at some point during this season, Jonesy. And that that guarded optimism or that sort of little nugget in my brain, it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller with every passing day and week that goes by here. Because, you know, just with the way things are going stateside, the way that things are happening on this side of the border as well, and I just think that, you know, the Raptors may ultimately just be in Tampa for the duration, and we don't see them back in TO until next fall.
I agree, Eric, and I just as much as I thought that it could happen, I look at the logistics too. You've only got a week break in there. I mean, you know, Malachi Flynn, you know, Aaron Baines. Some of these guys have never been to Toronto. So you're going to get them here in a week, find them a place to live, get them kind of acclimated, and then, oh, by the way, get back to practice and make a playoff push. What about the guys that do live here? I'm sure some of them have their places full time, but if they rent or lease for a year and sign it year to year, like, is that place still available? And these are just the off court logistics.
Mind
if the government decides to play ball and let other teams in, and now you're working around testing procedures and for the Raptors quasi quarantine procedures when returning from a trip in the States. There's a lot to it, and it might just be, look, let's ride this out for the year here. And somebody said that to me, Eric, people should know, we have meetings with our fellow broadcasters. You know, we talk to them on text and on email and stuff. And, you know, we have meetings set up before the game. Sometimes we're going to do one on Saturday with Mark Boyle and people from Indiana. They ask us about our team, and we say we haven't seen the team since March 8th of 2020. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. They might be doing away games from their arena. But if you're in, I talked to my brother, if you're in Sacramento and the team's playing in Chicago, you're in the arena in Sacramento, and you don't see your team much, but at least you might bump into people or you know, stuff like that. We don't have that, and it's fine. It's just the way it is, but it makes it, it's different, and at times it makes it difficult.
Joining us on the line right now, Jonesy, as we count down to kickoff on Sunday between the Bills and Chiefs, and of course prior to that, the Packers and Bucks as well. Former NFL or longtime Buffalo Bill, and he was a member of those four straight trips to the Super Bowl as well, running back Kenneth Davis. Kenneth, thanks for the time today.
Thank you for having me. Hello, Bill.
Kenneth, listen, folks. Yes, exactly. Hey, I'm a big Bills guy. My man Jonesy on the other end, he's a Brownies guy, so he's still kind of, you know, trying to lick his wounds from last week a little bit, Kenneth. But lots of Bills fans, obviously, in our listening area, just being about 90 minutes away from the border. Let's go down memory lane a little bit here before we look ahead to this weekend specifically, and just maybe some of the memories that stand out for you most of this, the not only the teams and the teammates and the camaraderie you had, Kenneth, but the rabid fan base that is obviously now just kind of boiling again in anticipation for this weekend.
I kind of think that the fan base is always phenomenal because, you know something, it's wonderful that it's packed in that stadium for the games, the sell-out crowds and all this here. But golly, it'd be the same way when you walk in a convenience store. It's crowded. It ain't crowded, but there's a lot of people in there, and they Bills fans. You go in the grocery store, there's the Bills fans in there. Buffalo didn't always have to be in the stadium to cheer on. They cheered on in the grocery stores, in the convenience stores, and all of that. So it was wonderful. You know, it really was, even out in the neighborhood. So they're just outstanding fans. They're outstanding fans. They did it in the bars and the clubs. It was just great. It really was.
Kenneth, it must be hard for the fans now, the fact that, you know, we had Sal Capaccio on and said that the 6,700 fans in the stadium the other day sounded like 67,000. But they're on the road this week, so they don't have, you know, quote, fan support of a full stadium. How different is it going to be trying to get it done on the road and maybe not having as many fans kind of rooting against them or making it difficult for silent count snaps and things like that? Is it a bit of an advantage?
No, I'm gonna tell you what it is. I kind of think that it is now. You're not on the road, but you know what? We're gonna win this because we want to go home to our home team and play a game at home. But if we don't get this right, we don't get this game at home. That's what Jim said, and Jim said that to us. Said, you know, when you're on the road, you know, you don't get this game right on the road, you don't get the game right at home. We want to get home. We want to play at home. We want our fans, and we want to come out there and see them out there tailgating and having a good time.
Speaking with former Bills running back Kenneth Davis. Kenneth, can you find any comparisons, any similarities to any of those great Bills teams and the one that we're currently watching on the field this year? You know, when I think about, you know, the obviously the combination of Diggs and Allen, and I think back to Andre Reed and Jim Kelly and the defense that the Bills have certainly turned around in the second half of the season with some of the young studs defensively. Can you find any comparisons? Do you think that way sometimes when you watch this team?
I think it compares sometimes when you watch it. You know, if you see a guy making an interception or something like that, you think about a Nate Odom, or you see him throw a long touchdown pass, and you think about Jim Kelly and Andre Reed, or you see a great run, and you see about a Thurman Thomas, or you see a great play at center from Ken Hall. You know, it's ironic you said that because that's what I watch. I watch a lot of the offensive linemen, the left tackle, right tackle, right guard, left guard. I kind of look at a lot of that because I was running back, so I kind of begin to look and see what a hold is there. And you know what? They got some very, very good young men up there in the front right now, and I think they're going to get the job done real well.
Kenneth, do you think, the fact that there's been such a long drought, that the current players – I mean, I know they want to win, but they understand what it also means to not just the city, but to guys like yourself, to guys that were there the last time the Bills were in the mix. Do you think that means something to them? And do they like to hear from the older guys saying, hey, man, it's about time. You know, I'm glad you guys are doing this. Let's keep it going.
I enjoy hearing it from the older guys. I enjoy hearing O.J. Simpson tell me, he said, hey, man, whatever you do, always be ready. He said, be ready for you won't have to be able to get ready. He said, so always stay ready for you won't have to be able to get ready. He said, anytime you have to go in the game on Thurman. I think that was some of the things that was there. To hear O.J. talk talk about that and say all of that, I think that was it. That was phenomenal in a lot of ways. It really was. It helped a lot for the players because they thought about it and they saw what was going on and who it was. And with it being O.J. Simpson, you know, it was real cool. It really was.
Speaking with Kenneth Davis, former Bills running back. All right, Kenneth, with no disrespect intended to the current guys, the Bills running game hasn't necessarily been the greatest. If there's one perhaps minor flaw to this team, Singletary's been okay. Now Moss has been hurt and he didn't play last week or wasn't able to finish out, and obviously won't play this weekend as well. If you're the Buffalo Bills, can you commit to throwing the ball 35, 40 plus times and beating the Chiefs? Or do you have to say, no, no matter what our struggles might be, we still have to run the ball?
No, you're going to have to run the ball. And against Kansas City Chiefs, you're going to have to be able to run the football. You know, to the standpoint where you're going to need to burn the clock. You want to get ahead. I don't care if you're ahead by 3 points, 2 points, or 1 point. You're going to have times where you're going to have to burn the clock. And if they can't get to the standpoint where they're going to be able to burn the clock, it's going to be a problem. I always looked at our no-huddle offense that we had in Buffalo. With us running with that no-huddle offense, it was outstanding. It really was. But, you know, we knew what we had to do and what we couldn't do. Jim knew when it was time to slow it down. And let's burn some time on this clock so we can run the ball. So it's going to be real interesting to see how well that they manage the clock.
Kenneth, did you watch the Browns game last week? I'm wondering if the Browns should have gone to the run more in spite of being that close and make Baker Mayfield playing well. When do you not abandon the run, or when do you give it up against a team like Kansas City?
I don't think that you ever abandon the run. I don't think it's something that you have to be able to do, because for one thing, when you start abandoning the run, everybody begins knowing what it is that you're getting ready to do. And I think that also with abandoning the run, it does something more for the offensive line. You got to understand, we had guys like Ken Hall and them that was downfield blocking. You know what I'm saying? They downfield blocking, you know, in a pass, or they downfield blocking in a run play. Something you got to be able to continually have them to move all the way around in both sections, for the run and for the pass. And the quarterback got to know when the right time to make it the run and the right time when to make it the pass. I think that's what made Jim Kelly so good when we was playing, that he knew when we need to run the football and he knew when we need to throw the ball. You know, I think that's very important.
All right, Kenneth, I'm going to ask this question only because you said earlier you think the Bills are getting it done and they're beating the Chiefs, because normally I wouldn't pull out the crystal ball here and ask about the next game. But, man, I'll tell you, as a Bills fan, I'm sitting here thinking, if they make it to the Super Bowl, if they can actually beat the Chiefs, I'm going to be so unbelievably excited and jacked up for that game. But I got to tell you, Kenneth, I am not loving the idea of possibly seeing Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. They finally got him out of the division, and they could potentially see him in the Super Bowl. What do you think shakes down this weekend with both games?
I kind of think that with Tom Brady, you're talking about him changing up and being in the Super Bowl. I think that no matter what, I think that it is Buffalo Bills' time, and it's their time to win the Super Bowl. And I kind of feel that this is the one that they meant to have. You know, so many people got so much against them, so much this and so much that, so much this and this and that's against them. It's to the standpoint where no. They're the guys on the right path. They're doing all the things correctly, and I think they're going to be fine.
Kenneth, listen, we appreciate the time today, the insight, and walking down memory lane with us a little bit. Enjoy the game this weekend, and go Bills.
Go Bills. All right. Thank you. Bye.
There's Kenneth Davis, former Buffalo Bills running back. And I love hearing those old stories, Jonesy. He's
so
talking about Ken Hall, and I'm thinking about Pete Metzelaris and Don Beebe and Steve Tasker and Daryl Talley, who we spoke to a couple weeks ago, and Bruce Smith. Oh, man, I'm getting fired up. I want it to be Friday now, not Thursday. We got it. We got to talk more Bills tomorrow, Jones. We must.
Easy grasshopper. Easy grasshopper. just easy. I look. I feel you because when your team, there's no better feeling than when your team is in it. When you're a fan. When you have a horse in the race, there is no better feeling. A couple of weeks ago, like I said, we had Eric Metcalf on when the Browns were in the playoffs, and I probably killed a half an hour after we got off air, you know, watching his highlights and seeing what a great punt returner he was.
We're way late for the break. We've got to step aside and come back, get you set and teed up for Writer's Block. It's Smith and Jones on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, we're going to wrap it up pretty quickly here, folks. Writer's Block is coming up next, but wanted to mention that if you want to play hockey in your own backyard this winter, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Rinkmaster are giving away a backyard rink enter for your chance to win at sportsnet.ca/590. Thanks to Tim Bontemps from ESPN for joining us today. Raptors getting set to host the Heat yet again tomorrow. And you can hear that game right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And also thanks to Kenneth Davis, former Bills running back, getting set for the Bills and Chiefs this week. And, of course, the Packers and Bucks as well. We're back again tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern with more Smith and Jones right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.